Now, I have good news for you this Sunday morning, and I don't want you to miss it. So on September 20th, 2017, in the midst of everything that's happened in the world, I'm telling you the good news. Here it comes. You ready? The good news for today is this. You are the children of Yahweh, your God. You better respond. You are. No doubt, no vacillation, no question. You are, it says, the children of Yahweh, your God. It is right there in the opening words of the chapter from which Barbara read to you, Deuteronomy chapter 14. That was the proclamation of great Moses 5,000 years ago to the nation of Israel as they prepared to enter the promised land. And it is still the proclamation of God to us today. You are the children of God. Oh, you are dull. Look, your dad is a millionaire. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in every mind. It don't make you happy to know that you are the child of God? Let me hear it. Come on. Now, I've got to be perfectly clear. Some of you here may not be the children of God. See, you are only a child of God if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm sorry, there is no other way I can handle it. I cannot make you all the children of my Father because He only adopts those who choose to be adopted by Him. And the way you get chosen to be in the family of God is by pleading the name of Jesus Christ. You want to do it some other way, you take it up with Dad. But I'm going to tell you the fact today. You take it up with the boss and you're going to get nowhere. Because He declared it 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, and it stands today. The only way that you can get to Him is through His Son, and His Son is Jesus Christ. So if you are a child of God, it means that you are pleading the blood of Jesus to save you. And if you are trying to get to heaven any other way, if you're trying to get the Father's ear any other way, you can't do it. Okay, now you got me? Did you hear the truth? So if you're here pleading the blood of Jesus, you are a child of God. Now some of you are sitting there saying, well, I'm not sure. I think I am, but maybe not. Okay, others of you are sitting out there saying, I know I'm not. It's real simple to resolve it. Okay, you can do it right now. If you are not sure that you are a child of God at this moment in time, all you got to do is say to Him, look, I know the traditional formula. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Okay, you don't even got to close your eyes. You don't have to bow your head. All you have to do right now is say to the Father, you don't have to say it out loud even, you can say it in your mind, I want Jesus. And if you confess to the Father that what you want is to be saved by the blood of Jesus, He will save you by the blood of Jesus. That's what He says. And then you are a child of God. You want to be part of the family of God? Take care of it right now. Claim Jesus, and you are part of our Father's family. You are a child of God. Now, I just explained the easy part. The easy part is getting in to the family of God. To become a child of God, all you got to do is plead the name of Jesus. You do it, you're in. The hard part of being a child of God is that Lord stuff. Naming God your Lord is tough. And what it means is that you simply resolve to do what the Father says, the book of Deuteronomy tells us this over again. I'm actually getting tired of saying it to you. Every week I say the same thing to you because Deuteronomy says the same thing to you. They're getting ready to go live in God's land. How are you going to live in God's promised land, God's way? You got to do what God says. He tells it to them over and over again. No choice, you got to do what God says. Simply means that you have to resolve to do what God says, whether you like what he says or not. To make him Lord means you resolve to do what God says. Got it? Now, that's tough. In the passage from which Barbara, who read? Barbara Reed? Yeah, it was Barbara. I forgot that already. Getting old. In the passage from Deuteronomy, from which Barbara read today, Deuteronomy 14, actually 14, chapter, verse 1 to 21, there are three examples given of doing what the Father says. Now, there are three examples. It's not the only things that you have to do in order to please God, but these are three examples that Moses lays out for the children of Israel so they catch the meaning of what it means to do what the Father says, whether you like it or not. Here are three examples. Okay, now the first example is found in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. There it says, do not cut yourselves. That's what it says. Do not cut yourselves. Now, occasionally, I run into people today who are cutting themselves. It may surprise you to know that self-cutting is not something new. 5,000 years ago, in Moses' day, people were cutting themselves. I'm sorry, he would not have said don't do it if people weren't doing it. 5,000 years ago, people were cutting themselves. Back then, it was part of pagan religious ceremonies. So when you went to worship the false gods, people cut themselves. They did it as part of the worship service to make themselves feel good, to get an emotional release from whatever it was which was bothering them. People cut themselves for the same reason today. Now, we're smarter, we can put words to it. So what we know is that cutting releases endorphins. Endorphins make us feel good when they are released into our body. So to release themselves from emotional pain, people as far back as the time of Moses cut themselves as a way of dealing with emotional pain because their body would physically release endorphins and it would make them feel good. People do it for the same reason today. They do it to relieve stress. Now, God says, don't. Not because he doesn't want you to feel good, but because cutting yourself is not good for you. It only produces a temporary high. It does not change the situation or the circumstances which you face one tiny little bit. And when you come down from the false emotional stimulation caused by the endorphins in your system, everything will be just as it was, or potentially even worse, but nothing will have gotten better. So God says, don't cut yourself. We don't stop there. Because when you begin to add pages and pages to that whole thing, that little book, you know, we call the Bible, you begin to add passage to passage, you begin to discover that what God actually does in the Bible is offer you a better way. So, in Psalm 55, verse 22, he says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will deliver you. He will not fail you. Now, I'm going to do a little illustration here. Do you know what this is? You know, this is a ball. Okay, for the record, this is a ball. It's all it is, a ball. Pretty ball. Lots of colors. Happy little ball. Okay? Now, if you are going to cast something, It means that you, now get ready, because on where it's gone, get ready. If you're going to cast it, you got to do this. Okay? All right? They didn't know it was coming. It's all right if they missed. Can I have that ball back? There it is. Okay, look. If you do... You did not cast anything. In order to cast it, you must let go. So if you're going to cast your burdens on the Lord, that is, if you're going to cast the things that bother you and trouble you, the disappointments of life, your sicknesses, your illness, if you're going to cast that on the Lord, you got to do that. Because if you hold on to it, if you hold on to it, you have cast nothing. If you want to carry the ball, okay. But the children of God do what the Father says. He says, don't cut yourself. It doesn't work. Instead, cast your burdens on me and I will deliver. You know why we don't want to let go of the burdens? We want to be responsible for our own deliverance. You got to let go of them to do what the Father says. Now, I'm going to just give you a couple examples here. It's true with cutting, it doesn't work. Neither does drinking. Okay? I mean, you can drink all you please, and it will not change any of the things you face. Okay? Drugs. Heard it yesterday, didn't we, from good old Brian, my new buddy. Okay? Then do a blessed thing to change your life. Overeating ain't going to help you. What's going to help you with the burden you bear is to give it to the Lord and let the Lord deliver you. Don't cut. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He will not fail. So the first example is don't cut. The second one is do not shave your forehead for the dead. Now, Ken's here, okay? And he came back to visit today, and as soon as he walked in, I thought, oh, man, he's going to be so upset with this part. Okay, just look at that head, okay? It's not talking about shaving your head because you want to be bald. That's not the issue. It's talking about shaving your forehead, and this also was an act of pagan worship. In the time of Moses, people cut off the front part of their hair to show how sorry they were when a loved one died. God says, don't do it. Again, it was a way of dealing with intense personal loss. It was a custom which grew out of the pagan religious cults of the time. God had warned Israel over and over again. We have read the warnings week after week. God said, don't get messed up in that pagan stuff. Don't borrow the customs of those heathen people. Don't even associate with them because those cults are dangerous to you. The danger is that participating in that junk will pull you away from the Father. It will pull you away from God. It will pull you away from the Lord. Now, in our culture, to my knowledge, as far as I know, that's what I'm saying here. I haven't noticed people who were shaving their foreheads as an act of mourning. They might be. But it hasn't worked with me because I haven't noticed. But we are still enticed by the pagan religious practices of our day. Want me to give you a couple examples? Evolution is a pagan religious tradition, which is sucking in more and more Americans. Abortion is a pagan religion, which is sucking in more and more Americans. Here it comes, get ready. Global warming is a pagan tradition designed to teach us that God is not the creator and to pull us away from him. You know what God's word says about that? Seasons will go on forever and ever. The times will be as they have been until the day of the Lord. When Jesus comes, it will end. That's not what they are telling us. These practices and teachings are pulling us away from the word of the Father. Even Christians are beginning to believe the culture over the stated word of God, the Bible. You want to know what God's word says about evolution? It didn't happen. God created it. You want to know what it says about abortion? God is the giver of life. Don't you dare despise the gift which God has given. God knows us from the beginning, even as we are being formed in the womb. He knew me before I was born. It says that. Global warming. God knows the time. God calls the seasons. He will declare the end. I can tell you how the earth will be destroyed. By fire. Perhaps by nuclear fire. It's in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Go read it. God tells us to avoid these pagan teachings because they will destroy our faith in his word. And that is what's happening in our nation today. Our faith, Christians' faith, the children's faith in the word of the Father is being destroyed by the pagan cults of our time. When we forsake the word of the Lord, we surrender the blessing of Almighty God. God gives us a better way. He says, you do not need to mourn death, because for you, my children, death is defeated. We won't die. Trust in Jesus. And then the third example of doing what God says, my favorite one, comes from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 3. It says, do not eat detestable things. Do not eat any detestable thing. And then there follows this long list of detestable things which Hebrews are not supposed to eat. Now again, this is fun for me, because if you check out the list, you will discover that there are modern delicacies on it. Like, who of you love lobster? Let me just see here. Yeah, see? It's a detestable thing according to the word of God. You can't eat it, okay, if you are a Hebrew. Now, I just want you to know, Hebrews cheat. I know, okay? they like lobster too. How about crabs? Any of you like crabs? No crabs. You can't have crabs. It's on the list. Now, let me just say, how many of you are really into grasshoppers? See, grasshoppers is on the list. You can eat grasshoppers. Okay? But how about cockroaches? Can't eat them. Okay. Now, it's interesting to me, being a scientist, I know this. The nutritional value of a grasshopper and a cockroach is exactly the same. But one you can eat, and one you can't. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole point, okay, the whole point of the dietary laws was to protect Israel from eating things which might be harmful to them. Now, let me just do this with you for a minute, okay? Suppose you are part of a nomadic culture. That means you are part of a culture that's moving from place to place, and you are living in tents, and you do not have available to you electricity, ice, or any kind of refrigeration, okay? You are hundreds of miles from the nearest ocean. The only way they can get you a lobster is on camel. Okay, in a basket, in the hot sun. How many of you want to eat that sucker? See, the whole perspective changes when you understand that God spoke that into a culture where seafood was like, no, I don't want it. Okay, I live in the desert and I don't have refrigeration. I'm not eating that stuff. Okay, the good thing is that God offers us a better way. Acts chapter 10, Peter saw everything on a blanket. God said, take it and eat it, because times had changed and God lifted the law, which was no longer necessary to protect his people from harm. The purpose behind the rule, eat no detestable thing, was to keep his children safe from harm. Now, here's the deal. You might not like that lobster law. I mean, when you were visiting your cousins at the beach last week, you Hebrew, okay, they had this really good thing called lobster. Fresh. Right out of the sea. Why not take one home to the desert? 106 degrees daily. No refrigerator. Why not? I mean, after all, I enjoyed it once. Why can't I do it? See, what's happening is that you're supposed to keep the law of God whether you like it or not, trusting that the Father has created the law just to protect his children. Got it? Now, here is what those three examples are attempting to establish. Number one, God does set rules. The rules are contained in the Bible. They are guidelines for his children, those of us who know Jesus Christ. Just as any good father sets limits for his children to keep them safe, so our good father has set limits to keep us safe. God does set rules. Number two, his children might find those rules somewhat restrictive. You might really want lobster. Number three, God's purpose is always to bring his children good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You may not see how not eating lobster in the desert could help you. You may think it perfectly safe to have a crab that's been baked on the beach in the afternoon sun. God knows. And he is working what he is working all around us now. Through all of the teachings of the scripture, he is working to bring us good. It is his promise. So despite how we, the children, may feel or think, if you are a child of God, you know that our Father is good, not some of the time, but all of the time. It ain't just a slogan, is it? So you will do what the Father says. Whether you want to do it or not, you will make yourself bend to the will and the rule of the Father. You will do what the Father says. Because that's what it means to be a child of God.